For we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. To those of you online who are wondering why Chris is chuckling, our little boy just is being so squirmy because he wants his mommy. It's funny because it ties into today's topic. So I just want to say I'm Angela. I'm not the pastor. Our pastor is up in Maine, and Pat was going to preach, but he is having some health issues, but he's doing better. So thank you, Jesus, for that. So I quickly just wanted to introduce myself. My name's Angela Moniz. I'm just a congregant here. I've been part of the Living Hope for like 11 years. Oh my gosh, can you guys believe that? It's been 11 years. Like, wow, I feel like I just got here yesterday. I am really just no one. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. I am a worship leader, and I just love the Lord. And I'm a Sunday school teacher. So you're essentially getting a Sunday school lesson. But as of recently, I have become more involved in women's ministry, and we've started a podcast for women called Wellside Women. And so my friend Stephanie and I, and a friend of mine, Dion, who's watching online, we've been running this podcast, and so I've been learning a lot about the Word of God in different contexts. And this week we are going to be teaching on God's provision. And the Lord put it on my heart to do good old Psalm 23. And isn't it funny, church, how like you think you know the word, but then the Lord was like, he reveals something to you. Like you think you know it, but then he shows you the riches of his glory just through the Word of God. It's like amazing. So that's a little bit about who I am and why I'm here. But I know Chris just prayed, but I am going to pray as well because I'm a big prayer. So sorry to make you bow your heads again, but please bow your heads with me again in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would be glorified today, Lord, that you would just use me as your vessel to speak your truth through your word. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that this seed would land on good soil. May it produce fruit abundant for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids can be dismissed. That means you, Judah. Mackenzie, you too, buddy. If you guys want to go upstairs, you can stay if you want. Okay. So today we're going to be looking at Psalm 23, and we're going to be looking at God's provision. So the Bible tells us about provision, just real quick background stuff. Zechariah 10:1 says, ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. It is the Lord who sends the thunderstorms. He gives showers of rain to all the people and the plants for field to everybody. So like there's different levels of provision, right? We've got rain, we've got food and clothing, we've got our basic needs. And then we also see it similarly in Matthew 5:45. It's not the greatest context, but he says, this is Jesus talking about the Lord. He says, for he makes he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. But today I want to show you guys a little bit more past earthly provisions. We want to look at godly provisions, which is like a level up, right? It's just not our basic needs. That's our level up. And I need a Bible. Or phone. Can I use your Bible app on your phone, Azaria? Thanks, girl. You think I'd remember my Bible when I was preaching? No. Left it right on the kitchen table. Thanks, girl. So if you would please open your Bibles to good old Psalm 23. All right, let's see here. Okay. Can't get this to work. Sorry. It's trying to make me leave a review. Oh. Thank you. Thanks. All right. So, Psalm 23. I am going to be reading from the ESV. The NIV. There we go. Psalm 23, NIV. Okay, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley,
I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. Thanks be to God for your word. So we have a couple of neat things here about Psalm 23. So first of all, I just want you guys to understand the Lord likes sheep. You know, he likens us to his sheep, like a lot. And this is a beautiful thing. We're going to get to that quote in a second, but that is a really awesome quote we'll read together. He like throughout the whole Old and New Testament, sheep, right? Psalm 100 and verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Isaiah 53:6 says, we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Not the greatest context, but We'll analyze that in a second. Ezekiel 34 says, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and I will look after them. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered. And then again in Ezekiel, we see, you are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declare the sovereign Lord. Then we read in the New Testament, Matthew 9, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Right? And then Jesus instructs his disciples, go gather the lost sheep of Israel in Matthew 10. It goes on and on and on. I'll do one more in Matthew. First Peter 2:25. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. So there's a lot of descriptions about God telling us that the people of God are likened to sheep, right? And at first, when I was preparing this, I heard a sermon about how dumb sheep are. And without a shepherd, y'all, they are dumb. Let's just get this straight, okay? I'm sorry. Like, I'm not saying we're dumb, but when I know, I can only speak to myself, when I'm without God, I don't make the wisest decisions. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. We are not so good on our own without the Lord. We've got this, like, I do it mentality. I have a 4-year-old, you know, and like when he's like, I do it, you know, it's usually a mess. It's not good. You know, he needs mama's help to help him through the day-to-day things. So we also, like sheep, we need a shepherd. And I love what Pastor Ben Smith of Central Baptist Church in Georgia says. He says, sheep are unique in their dependent relationship to the shepherd. This is not a deficiency. This is a blessing. This is a place of honor. Sheep have little strength to defend against predators because they enjoy the shepherd's strength and protection. Sheep worry little about the direction that they are traveling because they enjoy the leadership of the shepherd. It's the trait of the dependence on the shepherd why God chose the sheep to depend to us, our relationship with God. It's so good, isn't it? This is good that we have a shepherd who wants to guide us and lead us beside still waters and restores our soul and help us with every good thing. And when I was a youth, I didn't want this. I wanted to go my own way. I wanted to do my own thing. And I think a lot of us in our youth have that. We are inherently sinners because of the fall of good old Adam and Eve. And because of that, we want to just go astray naturally. Our flesh wants to go astray. But as we get more and more used to the guidance of the shepherd, we find out, we taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. We find out just how good he is. Just live a little longer. Keep on trucking and you will want someone guiding you, telling you what to do. I never wanted my mom's advice when I was a teenager. But guess what? Now I go to her. She's the first. Well, first I go to the Lord. But the human, my husband too, and my mom. I listen to my mom now. Didn't want to when I was younger, but now I do because we need that guidance. We need that shepherding. It's such a beautiful thing. Let's see if I can do this. Okay. So in John 10, he paints this beautiful picture of how good it is. And Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, but they're not of the sheep pen, and I must bring them in also, and they too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. God is in the process of gathering his flock by using us, by using the church to gather us all together as one big family of God. It's a beautiful thing. So I don't want us to have this negative connotation about sheep being not the great, not the smartest. It's that we need to see how beautiful that dependence on God is. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, so let's see here. So last night, as I was meditating on this psalm, reading it over and over again, studying commentaries and all this thing, the Lord showed me something really neat. He showed me that Psalm 23 is not just about our dependency upon God, but it's actually a progression through life. And this is something I want to show you guys. Let's take it. We're going to break it down in chronological order in, you know, bit by bit. So let's go to the next slide. So it says Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd and I lack nothing, right? He makes me lay down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. So this kind of feeds our daily needs, right? We got a lot of moms and dads in this room, right? First time the baby was born, what did that baby want? What? Milk. That baby wanted milk. That's all the baby needed. We need milk. Likewise with sheep, green pastures. What do sheep eat? Grass, right? What do they drink? Water. Right off the bat, he leads us to quiet waters and green pastures so we can sustain ourselves and have our daily needs met. Indeed. Then we have the Lord is my shepherd and I lack no, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Now, this may seem like a stretch to say that this has to do with identity, but let me tell you why. First of all, when you know where you're going and why you're going in that direction, you have identity. I promise you that. There's this old manuscript called the Westminster Catechism, and all these dudes got around together at the table, and they were like, what is the purpose of life? We need to figure this out according to the Word of God. And you know what they came up with? And I fully subscribe to it. They say the end chief of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And that is our identity. And being a child of God is to glorify him, because guess what? You give and you actually get in return. The more that we give our love out, the more that we get. It's like that book, Have You Read a Bucket Today? I think Jasmine knows what I'm talking about. It's a bucket that we carry around with us all the time. It's an invisible bucket. And the only way to have happiness and joy is to have your bucket full. But the only way to get your bucket to be full is to be kind to someone else and to give love to someone else. And every time you do this, your bucket gets full. It's a great children's book. I highly recommend it to all parents. But the principle is that the more that we give, the more we actually get. I get excited at Christmas time, not to think about what am I going to get? No, I'm like, I can't wait to see what Chris, his response to see what I got for him. I got him a golf cart for his birthday, and that was the best gift ever. Not because I'm trying to gloat, but because his reaction was so like blown away and shocked, and my joy was so full because of the gift that I got to give. So as we are in the direction of his namesake, is this making sense to you guys? The more we're giving glory to God and in his path, the more we understand our identities in Christ. And this is it, as children of God. It's a beautiful thing. We also have peace in that as well. Next slide. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. This is a scripture of victory, right? Paul writes about it in Romans 8. He says, what shall we say about these things? about these things that are coming against us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. This is how we have courage, confidence, and comfort in the valley. In the valley of the shadow of death. It's like we are going through the dark, y'all. Guess what? The world is dark. But we have Jesus with us. And so we can walk triumphantly and with courage and with gratitude and have victory in our every step. And you notice something interesting. We started off as sheep, just kind of crawling on all four, and now we're walking. Huh, that's interesting. Let's continue. Then we've got, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This indicates relationship, intimate relationship. And it's interesting because the rod is used for discipline. How many of y'all like to be disciplined when you were kids? Anybody like to be? My mom spanked us. She didn't care. We were children of the 80s. She didn't care. We'd be in Stop and Shop. If I gave her any lip, oof. I did not like that rod of discipline. But now that I'm older, now that I'm wiser, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Wow. They comfort me. Your discipline comforts me. What can that be likened to? Is there anybody who ever kind of whispers in your heart to tell you when you're doing something not so good? What's his name? I'll give you a hint. His name starts with a the. The Holy Spirit. Thanks. The Holy Spirit. He gives us correction, right? But now, I don't mind it so much. When I feel like I'm going this way and the Lord's like, no, 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 you go this way. Okay. All right. I'm going to trust that. Even though I may not fully understand it, I'm going to trust that you want me to do this because your rod is comforting me. And I have relationship with you, and I trust in the direction that you're sending me down. I trust in the path of your glory for your name's sake. And that also comes with maturity, right? I suspect that the shepherd, when the shepherds are little, they want to just go roaming off. And he's like, no, you need to come by the still waters. And he's got to use that rod to get them to go to the still waters. The pasture's over here, guys. Come on. Come on, you takes that rod, right? So he probably has to use this rod with us as we're young. And now as we mature, we're getting a little older, we develop relationship. Next slide. So then we have verse 5a. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Ugh. I think this particular section of Psalm 23 is most prevalent that we need right now in 2025, especially October 2025, we need to know that we have peace in the midst of our chaos, in the midst of our enemies, in the midst of everything that's going wrong. Jesus says, I believe it's in Matthew, he says, in this world you will have trouble, but take comfort. For I have overcome the world, right? My peace I give you, my peace I leave you. My peace I leave you. And you just imagine, you're at a table. God's setting a table, a banquet for you. And there's enemies all around you. But if you know that the Lord Almighty, the King of Glory, the maker of all heaven and earth, is the one making that feast for you, and you're about to sit down and dine with him, are you really going to be worried about them coming, trying to come after you? I don't think so. I don't think so. This is another thing about Psalm 23 I love. It is just riddled with confidence. When David wrote this, he was full of the Holy Spirit. He's like, you know what? I have full confidence in my God. So powerful. So we have this amazing peace in the middle of the battle. And this is something we need to remember, that we are God's children. And as we are God's children, we don't have to worry about fighting every battle, right? We sang about that today. I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. We don't have to take on the worries of the world, y'all. All right? We don't have to fight the world. You know, let's listen to the Holy Spirit's leading on this. Next slide is that you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. This is like, now we're really maturing now. Now we're like ready to do God's work. Ordained basically is just a fancy word that means blessed to do God's work. And as sheep of his pasture and of his flock, we are all called as priests. This is also what consecration is. Consecration is being set apart to do something holy. And that's an individual call, y'all. It may not be what I'm doing. It's certainly not what my husband's doing. And it's not what my daughter's doing. It's an individual call. God is calling us individually to go out and make disciples, individually to go out and do God's work. And that's something between, I believe, the Lord and you personally. He tells us in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He's talking to the church. Excuse me. He's talking to all of us. We don't need a doctorate to do this. I went to Liberty, but I didn't graduate. I'm just saying. He has anointed his church to go and be his light into the dark. We are ordained as brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of the Most High God. The next verse, we've got 6a. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. This also indicates relationship, covenant loyalty. Your goodness and loyalty follow me. It's okay. He can be up here. This is tying into relationship. And I have a relationship with this little one. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Guess who's following who in the house? We're both following each other, right? But if I don't see where he is, guess what I'm doing? I am running after him and trying to find where he is. I'm coming after him. The Lord is coming after us. His goodness and mercy follows after us because we are like his children. We are his children, not like his children. We are his children, right? But he, likewise, because we have relationship, he is constantly coming after me. Mommy, mommy, you guys heard it while we're trying to worship, right? He's coming after me, and God has this same relationship with the Lord Almighty. It's a beautiful thing. Covenant loyalty, covenant relationship. This could also be tied into the fact that, you know, Jesus calls the church his bride. It's a beautiful thing. It's a marriage. This is not working. I love you. All right. next we have the last slide, or the last slide for this. That 6b, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This ties into eternal life, but also eternal worship. When we realize that it is God who puts breath in our lungs, and it is God who gives us all of these amazing godly provisions, we want to praise him. We want to give him glory. And there's joy as we continue. Wait, please. Our little boy, he's very sweet. And we will live with him forever and ever and ever, giving him glory and finding such contentment and peace. It's just a progression of blessings, right? And also, like, we have this maturity, right? We started off as being sheep. We're crawling on all four, just like babies. And then we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And then we're sitting at the table. And now we're being anointed and called into God's higher purposes for our life. And now we've got this amazing ordained relationship that leads to eternal life. All because we've chosen to follow the shepherd. Amen. Amen. What a progression of blessings. From the beginning of life until the end. You can go to the next slide, please. So if we want this kind of provision, we need a relationship with the provider. That's really the bottom line right there. We need to have authentic, real relationship with the provider. Church is not a Sunday building. Church is being the bride of Christ. That means you're married to God, creation and creator together. I know it's a crazy concept, especially for our brothers in Christ, but that's what it is. It's creation and creator coming together for all of eternity. Forever and ever and ever. And these are really from my heart, y'all. What are the three things we need to have this? We need gratitude. If you're not grateful for that water, if you're not grateful for that grass, I don't know if we can be led to be confident and walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Gratitude is also, I believe, in my soul, a form of humility, right? As you find gratitude for the things around you, you're able to kind of lower your standards. And the Lord says that if we're faithful with the little, he will give you, we can be faithful with much, right? And so I truly believe gratitude is a big part of receiving God's blessing. And also like being open to seeing that sometimes God's provision is not what we think it should be, right? Last night, my poor friend, sorry, Dion, her back hurt, right? And we were supposed to do our podcast and everything, and she had such a bad backache, and it was absolutely awful. But because she canceled our podcast, it gave me time to study. God provided. Not in the best way. I'm sorry you're not feeling good, Dion, but still, he provided. So sometimes the Lord's provision is a little funny. There's this old saying, Tom Brady said it. It's on YouTube somewhere. And this old adage, this old Chinese story about the soldier who goes away to war, and all the townspeople, they go to the father. Oh no, your son's been sent. Or no, I'm sorry. There is a war. There's a war going on. And the village people come. And they, oh no, I can't believe this. This is a war. This is terrible. Isn't this awful? And he goes, maybe. And then he finds his horse runs away. And then the town people come to him. Oh no, you poor thing. You must be so distraught. Your horse ran away. This is just terrible, isn't it? He goes, maybe. And so the horse comes back the next day, but he brings with him 10 more horses. And he says, oh my goodness, this is such a blessing. What a great thing. Isn't this great? And the villager says, maybe. And then his son goes out to tame all these horses. Now he's got 10 horses to take care of. And in the process of trying to train and break the new horses, somehow he gets into an accident and he breaks his leg. And the villagers all come and they say, oh, you poor thing, your son broke his leg. That's terrible. And the dad says, maybe, maybe, right? And so a war is declared in the land, but the son can't be drafted because he's got a broken leg. So the townspeople say to him, wow, what a blessing. This is great. And the dad, he's got a little wise, he's wised up now. He says, maybe. We don't know how God is going to provide, right? We don't know what's a blessing, and we don't know what looks bad. We don't know how it's going to work out for our good. And as children of God, the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that some things work together. Oh, wait, what was it, Rita? Oh, I'm sorry. It's all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to their purposes. That means when you get a flat tire on the road, you might meet your future husband. That tow truck driver might be single. I'm saying, ladies, don't look at your problem. Look at what could be a provision. The problem could be a provision. That's true for you too. You got you gentlemen too. We don't know. We don't know what looks like a disaster could turn into the biggest blessing, right? It's insane. You just don't know. So we have to stay open with gratitude. Let me go back to that previous slide for just a sec. We have to follow the shepherd. This is a big one. This is abiding. This is not going in our way. This is going in the Lord's way, right? Going in the way of the shepherd. We have to abide in him. The Lord writes about this in John 15. He says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you will bear much fruit. But this takes a little bit on our part. This isn't just that the Lord is chasing after his sheep. He is chasing after you. But if we keep running away, we could get lost and the wolves will come and they will hunt you down. So we have to stay by the shepherd, y'all. It is dangerous out there. Keep your eye on the shepherd. Stay close to the shepherd. The closer we are to the shepherd, the more of his provision we're going to get, the more love we're going to get, the more joy we're going to get because we're next to the shepherd, who is Jesus, right? And that all comes with building a true relationship, wanting to stay next to the shepherd. Not because we're obedient soldiers. We are. There's an illustration about that. But because we are sons and daughters
of our Father, because Jesus is the lover of our soul, because we want to stay with the shepherd, because we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. How do you do that? How do we build relationship with an invisible God? One of the things we can do very practically is read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. It is alive. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, and the Lord will reveal himself to you in the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Y'all, it's said in the Old Testament in Genesis 1, and it's said in the very first line of John 1 in the New Testament. It is reiterated in the very beginning of both Testaments that the Word is God. The more that we take in the Word of God, the more that we are actually building that relationship, that communal relationship. It's a beautiful thing. So if we want to have provision, we can go to the next slide, please. Thank you. If we want the peace, the relationship, the ordained, the victory, the identity, the daily needs, the eternal life, we need to have a relationship with the provider. I did put relationship in there twice because I want you guys to really get this. This is not just a, I heard a pastor once say it, God is not a book on a bookshelf. The Bible's not a book on a bookshelf, okay? The Lord is your creator. He loves you. He knows every hair on your head. He wants what's absolutely best for you. He wants you to be confident, like David was confident in walking through the valley of the shadow of death and fearing no evil, because you know the Lord is with you and he's got good, good plans for you. But this is all starting with the relationship that we have with Jesus. You guys could pray with me as we close. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. Lord, you are the good shepherd. You are good and holy and true. We know that we are like sheep who've gone astray. And Jesus, there might be some here today who don't know you as their shepherd, who don't know you through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who don't have you yet. And so, Lord Jesus, I just ask that if that's you, if you're listening to this word and you want to find that relationship with Jesus, you don't have to do anything. You can just say yes in your heart. Say yes in your heart. You know what? I've gone astray long enough. I've done things my way long enough. And now I want to make a change. I want to abide with the shepherd. I want to drink the water from God's fountain. I want to sit at the table in the presence of my enemies. I want to be anointed with your holy calling. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God Almighty, stir our hearts. Help us, Lord Jesus, to abide in you and to stay with you, to stay in a relationship with you forever. In your holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.